another opportunity to bring his word. I thank God for our pastors, Pastor Jay Johnson, Pastor T. Johnson. If we can give our pastors a hand clap of praise, I thank God for them leading us. I thank God for them guiding us, Lord God. I thank God for the example that they show us each and every day. They are not perfect, but they strive to be. And I thank God for putting them in our lives. I thank God for my husband in his absence on today. I thank God for our minister staying on today. I thank God for her. I thank God for everyone in their respective places. I thank God for you that you all chose to come into the house on today to fellowship together, to commune together, to lift up the Lord together. Amen. Hallelujah. I just thank God for that. And so I won't be before you long. I will go straight into the word. I just thank God for just using me. I thank God for this week. I thank God for the stretching.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I thank God for the uncomfortableness, the embracing. Hallelujah. The uncomfortableness, just not having to know everything and just to lean in on the faith that is supposed to, that carries us.
Yes.
That we don't have to know everything. We don't have to know every step. That we don't have to know every move that he is making, that he is wanting us to walk by faith and not by sight. And so I thank God for the word that he gave me. And the sermon is faith over feelings. Faith over feelings. And we will be in Genesis chapter 21. But before we get to that, I thank God for just how he gave me the word during the week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And occasionally be sometimes Saturday that Ty and Esso and I, we go running downtown. And lately with late this week, it has just been me and Ty. And when we go to, and when we go running downtown, we spend time together. This is our time that we fellowship with one another. We have girl talks. This past Tuesday when Ty and I was together, she was able to asked me questions about the sermon. She just asked me, like, what led you to that message? You know, tell me more about it. And I love the opportunity that I was allowing her to, you know, I was telling her what the Lord had led me to talk about on last Sunday. And I said, because sometimes I don't get to say everything that the Lord has revealed to me on Sunday. So that was awesome. And just during that time, we encourage each other, we uplift each other. And I ain't all about the hair and nails. You know, we just, it's laughter there. And just on Tuesday, we had a good talk. And then on when Thursday came, we talked about revival. And Ty asked, and she said, you know, revival was good. And then I asked her, I said, she said, she responded, and she said, I asked her, I said, how do you feel? And she, when you left, and she said, I felt lighter. I felt lighter on Wednesday. And if you were here, you know, it was the move of God. With just Pastor, he prayed for everyone in the sanctuary, everyone that was here on Wednesday night. And so I asked her how she felt, and she responded, and she said that she felt lighter. And so immediately after asking her that question, it's like felt like it was the Holy Spirit that popped up a question that asked me, says, but what happens when the feeling is gone?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
What happens when the feeling is gone? Amen. And I didn't want to, and it says, will you still trust me? And so because the feeling, and it's like we left and everybody got a touch. And God spoke to everyone on Wednesday night, and you know, and we left feeling good. And so immediately when I asked her, it was like, but what happens when the feeling is gone? Will you still trust what the Lord said on Wednesday? And I told her I didn't want to take away the fact that God gives us feelings. So I didn't want to take away the moment, the high that she probably was on. But I had to be real with myself because I've been there many times that I've been on a high that the Lord speaks and he moves. And then 2-3 days later, the feeling that I don't feel that same feeling anymore. And so I asked, and I had to ask the question. And so, and I know that God gives us feelings. And then they let us know that something is going on. But in those moments, we feel him near. But what about the times when we feel that he's so far away? What about the moments when we don't feel him? And so what about the next day when the feelings have changed, or when the feelings are gone, or when a circumstance has come into our lives and has came in and has snatched away that feeling? And I begin to question, like, or we begin to question or ask God, are you still there? Are you still there? And it's crazy because, like, it's so quick that the feeling gets snatched away. And it's that, and that's why I say, Lord, posture our hearts, that when we receive this word, that it's not so quick to be snatched away, that it is planted and it's rooted and it takes root on the inside. Because I know and I have experienced that there will be seasons that sometimes you won't be able to trace the hand of God. There are going to be seasons that you won't be able to trace his hand, but you have to know that he's working. You have to know that he's right there. There will be seasons in your life where there won't be a feeling that's going to provoke you to pray. There will be seasons in your life that won't be a feeling that will provoke you to praise God, that you have to just push through those feelings, and you have to pray anyway, and you have to praise anyway, and you got to show up anyway. You have to show up anyway. You got to come to church anyway, even when you don't feel like it. You got to check on those friends even when you don't feel like it. Even when you want to stay hidden in your house. Even when you want to stay ducked off by yourself. You have to do it anyway. Amen. And as humans, we feel like, well, we're looking for that feel good all the time. We want to feel good all the time. We're wanting to feel good, and we want the presence of the Lord to never leave us. We want that feel good presence all the time. And so when we do not feel his presence, I ask the question, what do you lean into? That when that high goes down, or when you don't feel what you felt on Wednesday anymore, what do you lean into? Do you still push through the feeling and still lean into God and still pray and still go to his word for an answer? And God, where are you? And God, give me a sign. And God, I need you. Or do you lean into something else? Or do you go back into that headspace and you begin to doubt that the God that just showed up for us Wednesday night is not the same God that's here in this very moment? Or just because you don't feel his presence anymore, what are you leaning into? And as I was preparing this message, it's like, it's not the feeling, it's the invitation. And so the feeling that we feel is not the feeling, it's the invitation. So on Wednesday night, and then on Sundays when we come in and when we feel the presence, it's the invitation that God is inviting us into something deeper. And so when he spoke on Wednesday, or when he gave you a specific message, or when he says you're entering into a season or you're leaving a season, he was inviting you into something deeper. So I don't want us to get caught up on the feeling. I want us to get caught up on the invitation of where he's trying to take us. Because the thing about it, he said what he said, but he may not move when you want him to move. He said what he said, but it may not look like what he wants. What you want it to look like. So I don't want us to be caught up on the feeling. I want us to be caught up in the invitation that he's calling us to something deeper. And that something deeper is him. It is bigger than the feeling, because we know eventually feelings fade, but it's a call to surrender. That when he speaks to us, and that when he prophesies to us, whether it's a good feeling or where it doesn't feel too well, he is calling for us to surrender those things in our lives. A call to lay it at his feet and don't pick it back up. A call to have faith that he is going to do exactly what he said that he was going to do. A call, an invitation, that you can accept joy instead of sadness. That these moments are to transform our faith into something deeper. He wants more than just the Wednesday revivals and the Sunday morning. And like I said last week, he wants the messy, the unclean parts of us. He wants to strengthen our faith. He wants to stretch us. Hallelujah. He wants to stretch us.
And I'm learning that following Jesus is not always going to be the mountaintop. I'm learning that following Jesus is not always going to be the mountaintops. It's still choosing to follow him, even when my feelings don't match my circumstances. It's still choosing to follow him, even when he's asked me to move forward and asked me to do things and my feelings telling me to go in the other direction. I heard a short message from Billy Graham, and he stated there were times in his life that he felt Christ so very close to him. And I know that we can attest to it. And I can remember when I first gave my life, I remember even when in a season a couple of years ago, it's like I just felt the presence. I would get up in the morning and I would read and I could feel his presence. And it just everywhere I went, I felt his presence. And so he said he felt like standing up and dancing. And so I know that we've been in that place that we felt God's presence with every move that we made. And then he said there were times when he couldn't even touch Christ. It's like, where are you? Like, I look all around, and if I can be honest, that has been my year. I have been saying, God, where are you? Like, I can't touch you. Like, I know that I'm living like, what have I done for it to feel like you are so far away from me? And he said that that he wasn't able, like if you felt like you haven't been able to get your prayers through. It feels like when you try to start praying that you just stop because it just feels like, God, where are you? Like even when I begin to praise or when I begin to lift him up, it's just like I feel like it's not going anywhere. And so he stated that when he told his mother said, you have accepted Christ as your Savior. And whether or not you feel him, these are the moments that when you don't feel him, these are the moments that Christ is the closest to you. These are the moments that God is calling you to trust him. These are the moments that he's wanting to strengthen your faith. These are the moments that he's wanting you to walk by faith and not by sight. Because we want to know everything. I just want to know that you're there. I just want to know that you're right here. But God already told us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's already told us that in his word. So he's wanting to strengthen us on today. I'm sharing these feelings because I have been in this place of uncomfortableness. I have been in this place of, God, where are you? Have you forsaken me? Even though I know the word. Even though we know the word, we know what it says, but sometimes it's hard to know what the word says, but put it into practice. It's like we know the word, like I know that you're here. I know that you're with me, but Lord, it's hard for me to put it into practice. Hebrews 11 and 1 states that faith is confidence in what it is hoped for, an assurance of what is not seen. Faith is a deep trust and a belief that God is who he says that he is. That he has the best track record and it speaks for himself. Look all around you. It's evident of his goodness. It's very evident of his goodness that you were able to be where you are. It was not all because of you seeing God in every move. It's because you had faith and that you trusted. And that you put one foot in front of the other and that you put your feelings to the side and say, Lord, I'm going to come to church anyway. Despite of what I feel, Lord God, I'm going to praise you anyway. Despite how I feel, Lord God, even when I feel like you ain't showed up, even when I feel like you haven't moved on my behalf, Lord God, even when I feel like your promises haven't came true, Lord God, I'm still going to show up, Lord God, despite of what my flesh is telling me to do, despite of what my flesh is telling me to turn around and go back into the world, that I'm not going to do that, that I'm going to have faith in, that I'm going to trust. Yeah. That you're going to show up and that he will do exactly what he says that he's going to do. And that if you continue to read in chapter 11, that there are people that are acknowledged for their faith. They are acknowledged for their faith. And Abraham was one of those people. And so as God gave me faith over feeling, I said, well, if Abraham was acknowledged for his faith, I probably need to look at Abraham's life and follow him in order for so I can be a knowledge for my faith, so God can see that I can move in faithfulness, that I can no longer be putting my feelings before my faith and depending on my feelings to lead and carry me. And so as we go to the book of Genesis, chapter 22, we are at, and before we get to chapter 22, the chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 talks about Abraham. And to know Abraham, he was just an ordinary person, just like you and me. He wasn't sinless or powerful. God just chose him. God chose him, and that's what God is trying to do today. He's wanting to choose you. He's wanting to choose you on today to walk in faith, to lean into what he has for you on today. When he first called Abraham, his name was Abram. And when God called Abraham, he was living in this pagan city. And so God called him from this pagan city. And so this pagan city, it was filled with where they worship. It was a wealthy city, but they worship idols in this city. And so God was calling Abraham from one place to the next. And so if you, in my studying, in Abraham's response, God said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. And so if not, it's coming that God is going to ask you or is going to require you to go to a place that he is asking for you to go to. He's calling you to leave what you know. Leave what you know. Leave what you are depending. Leave what you keep leaning into and lean on him and leave what you want. And he's going to ask for you to sometimes leave your family and your friends behind. And that's hard for some of us to leave our family and our friends behind. But he's wanting you to come into this new territory. He's wanting you to come into this territory of faith. Because what's happening in that old pagan city, you're trusting in other things. You're trusting in other things are your gods. You're trusting in money. You're trusting in your family. You're trusting in things. And he's wanting to carry you to this place where he's just wanting him and him only to be the one true God in your life. And there will be times where our feelings won't align up with the shift that is happening. That God is telling us to move, but our feelings are telling us to stay. That God is telling us to move, and our feelings are telling us to question, God, where are we going? Why? How long? Why do I have to leave? Why I can't take nobody with me? Why I can't take my family and friends? Because see, that's what we do. We want to question. We want to know everything before we just take a move into faith. Amen. In order for Abraham to receive the promises, he first had to move in obedience. And God has spoken so many promises over our lives in this church. God, in the word, God has spoken so many promises, but some of us can't even get to the promises because we don't want to move in obedience. That God is telling us to move. Like he's saying, I can't bless you in that season. I can't bless you in that. I can't bless you in that pagan city. That I got to move you into a new territory. Some of us must know all the things before we just move. Before we got to ask all the questions, we got to say why. Why me? Why you chose me? Where are we going? Who coming with? Am I going to be by myself? Like, we got to ask all these questions. So what feelings on today are stopping you from being obedient to God's word? What feelings on today are stopping you from getting the promises that God has for you? What feelings are stopping you from leaving your family and friends behind? Because the thing about God, like he when he asks for you to give up something, he replaces it with so much. He replaces it with something so much better. Amen. And so we hear the promises of the Lord, but we don't want to be obedient to receive the promises. So I ask, do you really want Jesus? Like, do you really want him for him? Or do you really just chase after the feeling? or you just really want the things that he's saying and don't have to do what he is requiring of us. Faith is not about what feels right. It's about trusting that God is right, even when it feels uncomfortable, even when it feels inconvenient, even when the directions are not always clear. We see that in verse 4 in Genesis 12, when God told Abraham to move, Abraham got up and moved, got up and he moved. Abraham didn't have a map, but he had a promise. He knew that God said that he was going to make him the father of many nations. So in order for him to get to that promise, he knew that he had to move. But he knew that he had to move because he knew the person that was leading him was God, the one that he can trust in, because he knows that his character and his track record speaks for itself. So we sitting here and God tells us to move as if God ain't showed up in our lives, as if his track record doesn't speak for itself, as if we can't trust and lean on him, but we rather lean on things that ain't going to get us nowhere. As we continue throughout the journey of Abraham's life, God has made him a promise that he will be the father of many nations, but the father of many nations with no son. And God promises Abraham a son. And if you read on through Abraham's life, God fulfills that promise. And then we get to Genesis 22, where Abraham's faith is tested. Abraham's faith is tested in Genesis 22. And I begin to look through Genesis 22, and I begin to look through these scriptures, and I look for feelings. I look for Abraham's feelings to see if his feelings swayed him to go in another direction. Because I know, Lord God, that you've given Abraham as an example for us to follow. So I wanted to look through Genesis 22 to see where was Abraham's feelings in all of this. And so when we get to Genesis 22, verse 22 says, sometimes later, God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, "Here am I," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, my son, the one that you promised me. You fulfilled your promise, and you're telling me to take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain where I will show you." God has asked Abraham to sacrifice the promise that he fulfilled. Can you imagine all the feelings that Abraham had when God has asked, like, "You said that I will be the father of many. You said I will be the father. You took me. You told me to look in the sky to count the stars. And you're saying that you fulfilled a promise, and now you want to take the promise away from me." And I think about the prophecy that God has given to us. And it's like we just want it in arm's reach, but we're going to see at the end, it wasn't all about his son. It wasn't all about his son. "Why would you take my son away?" Like, I can imagine him probably thinking, or some of us, like, "I walked with you. You told me to leave. You told me to leave, and you told me to go to this new place, and I did it. You promised me a son, and I waited years, and you did it. Like, I'm doing everything you asked me. Now you're going to ask me to sacrifice my only son." Every feeling I'm sure Abraham had: fear, confusion, heartbreak, anger. And I get it. We share in those same feelings. But we see that in these scriptures that Abraham puts his faith to move me, that he doesn't allow his feelings to stand in the way of what God asked him for. So even if God says that I'm going to sacrifice your son, I'm just going to be obedient to do what you said to do, because God, you always keep your promises. In verse 3, it says, "Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey." And we see the faith is put into action. We don't see that his feet stop moving just because we may feel some type of way. And God gives us permission to feel. But those feelings are not supposed to stop us from moving in the direction that God wants us to move in. And that he loaded up his donkey and he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. For even when I do not understand, I still will trust you. Even when I don't know what your plan is, I still will trust you. And that is what God is calling for us to do on today, that even when we don't know his plan, even when we don't know what he's doing, that we will still trust him, that my feelings won't delay my obedience. My feelings won't delay my obedience, that God is calling us to put our faith into action on today. That he's calling to put our faith into action, that Abraham knows God's character, that Abraham knows that what God will do, that Abraham heard generations that God cleared the entire earth through a flood. Like, Abraham knows that God don't play, that Abraham knows that God was, that God's character, and that God's character that is good. And God is calling for us to get to know him. A lot of the time we're acting out our feelings because we don't know him like we say we do. We don't know him like we say that we do. And we begin to allow our feelings to come before our faith instead of our faith over our feelings. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship. And then we will come back to you." And if you see that, and if you hear that, he said, "We will worship and we will come back." Meaning that his faith is so deep rooted in God that the confidence that Abraham has, that he states that we will come back, not in the situation, but in God who gave the promise. That he knows that God gave him the promise, so he can have faith to know that God is going, that Abraham is confident that God, even though God, even if it comes to Abraham being sacrificed, God is just that good that he will raise Isaac. Isaac is being sacrificed, God is just that good that God will raise Isaac from the dead. Are you confident? Are you just that confident and what God can do in your life? Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself," again, the confidence of what Abraham does not see, the assurance of what he hopes for, that he knows that God is going to provide a lamb. So the thing is that he is faithful, that he has put his faith in the Lord, that he has put his faith into motion, that although that he's walking towards what God is doing. "But the lamb," Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering for my son." And the two of them went on together. Again, we see the confidence in the things that are hoped for. We see Abraham's confidence. Where is your confidence when God puts your faith to the test? Where is your confidence that he remembers, that Abraham remembers the promises that God has already spoke to him? Where is your confidence that when God speaks to you and it doesn't look the way that you want it to look, where's your confidence to say, "God, you already said that this is going to come to pass"? Where is your confidence? Where's your confidence? Where's your assurance on today? And when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And God, and after reading those verses, that God never wanted the death of Isaac, that he wanted Abraham's heart. And that is the same for us, that God does not want us to feel as if we are forsaken, but he wants us to have a heart that is after him. He wants us to live a life where we trust him. He wants us to live a life where we don't have to know every single move. He wants us to live a life that we can put our faith into action, that when he tells us to move, that we move without questioning, without the feelings, without all the things that stand in the way, that he is not a life that is about us, but a life that is about him. On yesterday, we had a talk. And in the talk, it just resonated with me. Because on yesterday, the talk is that it's not going to get any easier, in a sense. Like, the things that God requires of us is not going to get any easier, because that the end goal is to be with him. So he can't allow us just to coast throughout life. And I'm coming to realize that he can't allow us just to be on the mountaintop. Because if you're just on the mountaintops, you're going to have no need Jesus. He wants us to, at times, to be in the valley lows, where we have to call on him, even when we don't feel him, even when we don't know, even when we don't think that he's there, that he wants us to push through, because he's trying to strengthen our faith. He's trying to stretch us. He's trying to stretch us. That God is going to call you to do difficult things. That he's going to call you to have difficult conversations. That he's going to ask you to walk away from people and from things that mean you no good. And we always have to ask, why? Because at times he want to say, because I said so. Because I am God. If I say move, move. Because my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That I know that I need. And I'm realizing that it's going to be a continuation. That we're going to continue to have to move. That when we go, if he moves us from one place to another, that we're going to have to continue. We're going to have to move from that place to another place. Because the goal is that we want to spend eternity. The goal is that we're trying to reach the mark. Even though that we may miss it, that we're trying to reach the mark. And the mark is to spend eternity. So God is going to be stretching. He's going to call us to do things. He's going to call us. And we can't have our feelings in the way. We can't have our feelings to lead us. We can't have our feelings to talk for us. We can't have our feelings to walk for us. We got to have faith. God is calling us to walk by faith and not by sight. Because when we walk by sight, sight can make our circumstances bigger than God. When we walk by sight, sight can put us into our feelings and having us to think that God is not working on our behalf. If we walk, if we merely see everything by sight, that we will not see what we cannot see that is evident of the goodness all around us. It is time for us to strengthen our faith and not our feelings. It is time for us to strengthen our faith and not our feelings. And so I'm grateful for this message, because it wasn't to you, it was to me first. Because there's things that God has, you know, said and spoke over my life, and it hasn't came to pass yet. And I think about and it hasn't came to pass, and it seems like it gets worse before it gets better. And it seems like, and if I stay in my feelings, like if I really stay in my feelings, I wouldn't be up here today. If I stay in my feelings, like, I would have walked away long time ago. And so, and that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to stay in our feelings because he knows that if we see things, we're going to want to be in control. Long as we see and we can control it. But God is calling us to release the control on today. God is calling because when we walk by faith and not by sight, we're releasing control. We're saying, God, I may not have the direction. I may not know where you're going, where we're going, but I'm going to trust you that I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. If you tell me to go right, I'm going to go right. No matter how I feel, no matter if I'm uncomfortable, no matter where, I'm going to trust you because you never let me down. You have never forsaken me. You have always answered when I call. And God is calling us on today. He's calling us to strengthen our faith and not our feelings. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.